I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address in a torn up town, no postcode.
All right, I've been meaning to ask you. There's like a BuzzFeed article about what Indians are sick of seeing.
Yeah, yeah. It's
people
it's
actually
accurate.
It is.
What?
Yeah. I don't get it as much because I live in India.
Yeah, of course.
But I think like my friends who live outside hear more of it.
But so, what what exactly does it say?
Says things like, you know, they all think that we do yoga all the time, and we ride elephants, and we go on top of trains. How the whole idea of like Indians not being Asians, because Asians are like the Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese people, which makes no sense. India is like a massive part of Asia.
What? Geography, we just don't.
But it's not. It's in Asia.
I love the question about do you speak Indo?
I got asked question. I've been told that I don't look Muslim. I look Indian. Which
okay.
Yeah.
What? Like, it's such a, like, I don't even know how to respond to questions like that, you know? It's just like, it's like when people told me that I reminded them of Hermione Granger, and I'm like, from what angle? Welcome to visitors from across the universe. You are listening to the Across the Universe podcast, brought to you by the Chicks with Accents. Namaste, I'm Nick, and I'm hosting today's episode. I blog at Being Normal Jean, and I'm from India. With me today are, as always, Sophia, who blogs at Filmflare and who is from Portugal.
Hola.
And Matt, who blogs at Lime Reviews and Strawberry Confessions and who is from Germany/Denmark.
Moin.
We are pleased to welcome Stevie Taylor from Denmark, New Zealand, and whose blog is The Awesome Cinematic Paradox. Hi.
Hi.
Okay, yeah, I was just thinking, Stevie, guess what?
What?
You're the fourth chick with accent.
I am!
Yeah,
it's a great honor.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, it's like being part of the plastics.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, anyways, in today's episode, which comes out on 1st Jan 2014, we are looking back at our movie experiences of 2013 and picking our favorite movies that we saw in 2013 but are not from 2013. Before that, though, we want to get to know Stevie a little better, so join us with our mini questionnaire for Stevie after the trailer from a fellow LAMP podcasting network show.
Not the smartest kid in the gang? Don't know your Argo from Arachnophobia? Still want the latest box office news and best film reviews? Then Box Office Buzz is the podcast for you. Released fortnightly in the winter and weekly through the summer, Box Office Buzz is a brief but very informative guide to what movies are worth seeing and what movies are being seen. Buzz Hubs Box Office Buzz, the best in film podcasting.
Stevie, your first question is that what was your first favorite movie?
My first favorite movie was Racing Stripes, the one with the zebra and the talking animals.
Oh, yeah, what? I've seen that.
It was, yeah, I loved it. Like, I think it was just my favorite film because it was the first film I saw in cinemas twice. So, yeah, that was cool. But no, I used to watch it, like, parts of it every morning before I went to school and stuff. And I've pretty much grown out of it now, but if I watched it again, I'd probably still enjoy it, which is sad. But, you know, there you have it.
It's fine. I watch a lot of terrible Bollywood movies, but I still enjoy them because I saw them as, like, a child.
Yeah. I watch Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging all the time, which is...
Oh, their movie.
Yeah. Okay, we've changed one of our questions to be more in tune with our show. So the question now is, what was your interesting movie of the fortnight?
To the Wonder, the Terrence Malick film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's interesting. Like, it's somewhere between, like, Days of Heaven and The Tree of Life on the Terrence Malick weirdness scale. it basically just has a whole lot of shots of people walking through big fields and stuff, and it has Ben Affleck whispering creepily. Actually, nobody talks in the film. They just whisper creepily and narrate at each other. But, you know, it's a nice movie. It makes you feel, like, really nice. If you take away the characters, it's a nice movie. The characters are really... But, you know, it's very interesting. It'll be interesting to see what he does with his next two films that he's got in the works, if he releases them.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to a whole podcast on this, and I just forgot to watch it. I really need to watch it soon.
I was going to watch it, but yeah, I wasn't in, like, the mood, the brain space to watch, yeah, like, a Terrence Malick movie. You need to be in that. You can't just watch it when at a random moment, because you can get, like, kind of irritated.
Yeah.
Not irritated, but, like, you know, it's different, you know. You need to, like, be in that calm.
Yeah, it's a movie for meditation, like, almost.
Yeah, to appreciate the beauty of it all.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope his next year movies are good. I'm very, very excited for the Ryan Gosling one.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll be good. Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be cut.
Yeah.
Or have to whisper through the whole movie. Although Gosling whispering is probably not a bad idea.
No, I want him and, like, Fassi to be there, both of them. They must be there. They have to be there. They should be there. Yeah. Fassi whispering is also good, you know, the whole Irish accent.
Yeah. Okay. My bestender is in New Zealand right now. It's kind of weird. He's, like, 3 hours away from me, but I don't know why I'm not there stalking him right now.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah.
Should. Let's stop talking and just go.
Yeah. Okay, your next question is that, who's your favorite female character?
My favorite female character is actually Olive Pendergast from Easy A, just because she is the funniest person ever. Like, I'm not sure if Emma Stone is exactly like that, and I'm kind of confusing the character with Emma Stone, but she's awesome. Like, I love her.
She is.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's amazing.
I wish that movie came out when I was in high school. I don't know. Well, my first was Mean Girls, so it's a little off.
Yeah. She's cool.
Yeah.
Such a happy movie. But my favorite thing, honestly, in that movie, as much as I love Emma Stone, is, like, Stanley Tucci and Patricia Clarkson, like, both of them. Yes. Best parents ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about Easy A. Not the movie, but I'm kind of going to mention it later on.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. And the last question, your favorite non-English movie?
It's actually the first non-English movie I ever saw, and that's Let the Right One In. I just love that.
Yeah, I saw it only because you wrote about it a lot, and it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is quite an interesting little film. I like it.
Yeah, it's cute.
I love it. It's great. It's like one of the best. It's like the movie I saw which like restored my faith in like vampire things.
Yeah.
Because I like vampires.
Yeah, they can. It depends. They're a bit overused, but.
Yeah, and I was like, vampires everywhere, but okay.
It's such a good movie.
Yeah.
If this feeling flows both ways, sort of hoping that you'd stay. You can't say tomorrow day. Crawling back to you. Never thought I'd call and run. You're out of view. Cause I always knew. Maybe I'm too busy being lost to fall for surrounding you. Now I thought I knew. Crawling back to you.
For our main discussion, we are going to talk about our favorite movies that we saw in 2013, but we're not from 2013. The reason we're not doing a normal best of 2013 list is because all of us here, including Stevie, get many movies later than the US or the North American release dates. So we haven't seen a lot of 2013 releases. Therefore, we're going with this sort of alternative list. First, though, as someone who follows Stevie's blog and follows her on Twitter, I know that 2013 was a big year for you, which is one of the reasons why, like, we thought, like, you would be, like, a very... Not the reason why you would be, like, a really apt guest for this episode. So, like, can you tell us more about it?
About my 2013?
Yeah.
So basically, I was head girl at my school, which meant that I had to look after my year group, and I became the year 13 bum, and I cleaned a lot of stuff, but I've done so much this year, like with stage challenge, and I did some acting in The Crucible as well, that was fun, and just like a whole lot of school stuff, and it hasn't left a lot of time for much film watching or film blogging, but I am back blogging again, so that's good. And yeah, that was basically my year. It was very busy.
Okay. What about you guys?
I don't know. I never have the best memory, but I mean, my personal life, you mean?
Yeah. I guess.
I don't know.
We're not intruding.
No, of course not. Well, the first half of the year was pretty bad because that was the second semester of my second year in college, which I basically failed almost every class.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I still got to pass my year. So now I'm in the third year, but with a lot of classes behind. But now it's like it's running smoothly so far. So... I don't know. In terms of class, that's it. But I did have but a lot of people. I don't know why, but it was a year where everyone was turning to me and they had opinions about me that don't really match up, like people I don't know. Nothing bad, but stuff that is very ironic. Like I had a fourth-year student turning to me and say, "Oh, really? Because you look like a really good student." And I'm like, "Do I?" It's like, okay. No, things like that. Anyway, I'm a disaster when it comes to personal life. I'm really just not apt to be in society anyway.
Okay.
I can manage my blog poorly, but then when it comes to personal relationships, I just suck at everything. It's just terrible.
Okay. Well, yeah, I wish I could have been something like Head Girl, but my school is so unorganized, and I only learned what a Head Girl is this year, because, Stevie, you turned Head Girl, and I kind of researched what that is. But
you didn't research it for like Harry Potter.
Well, I kind of remembered Harry Potter, but it's just been such a long time, and yeah, but I started my last year of high school, mm-hmm. which is easier than the second year, in my opinion. But
it is here too.
Yeah, it is, right?
It is.
The only thing is, I have to know all my math until Tuesday. Which, yeah, that's the only thing. Otherwise, I've gotten awesome grades, and yeah, I'm happy about school, but I'm also happy it's going to end soon. And I don't know. Yeah, all my girlfriends suddenly had boyfriends, but that's okay.
Yes, that happens at the end of high school.
And I don't know. I didn't, but it's fine. I mean, I'm having fun, and I don't know. It's cool to be 18 years old, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's been a good year.
What are you doing after high school?
I'm going to take a year off, and I'm planning to do an au pair year in the USA. So
what?
You know, the like when you go to another country and you sort of like a nanny, but you live with the people, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and you get paid. So you live. I would live with the family and in the USA, and
yes.
I would get money, and I'd also have time to travel around. So
that's awesome. Really?
Yeah.
My parents would never let me do that.
My parents want me to do that.
I don't know. It's just going to college, taking a degree, blah.
I know.
What are you thinking about in terms of college? Like, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay. No, in Denmark, it's very much focused on taking a year off, a gap year, and, you know, traveling.
Figuring things out.
Yeah.
That's cool because my first year in college, I actually changed courses. So
same, I dropped out.
I dropped out too. College. I'm a dropout. I'm a college dropout.
Yeah, so am I. It's so cool.
Yeah, I was such a rebel.
Yeah,
I dropped out of art school to go to law school. I'm such a rebel.
I dropped out of like business school to like take English.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm just going to be poor. That's great.
Okay. But that's great, yeah. It's great that you're doing that.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
Well, like the majority of my year went in like preparing for my first year exams because they kept getting postponed. Oh. So in my head, it's still, you know, it's like May in my head because it's like, where did the year go? But the moment second year started, it's been pretty cool. Like, I directed the play, and then we won that. And I met Kalki Kochlin, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had, like, my first film festival experience. I haven't reached many goals that I'd set out for myself, which I'm, like, saddened by. But it's next year. I'll do it. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and okay. Of course, we started the podcast.
Yes.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. To our list now that, okay, coming back to our list. First, we'll do honorable mentions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's start with Stevie.
My honorary mentions. Gravity is one of them. I know that it's a 2013 film, but God, that was awesome. And films like Pleasantville, The Ice Storm, The Contender, they all have Joan Allen in them. A whole lot of Daniel Day-Lewis movies I saw this year, like The Ballad of Jack and Rose, The Crucible, and My Left Foot, and a whole lot of them. I saw most of them. And what else? Films like Django Unchained and stuff, and Silver Linings Playbook, and The Great Gatsby, and there's, like, a whole lot, but can't really be bothered naming them all, but they're the main ones.
Okay.
Yeah, I've actually named all of them, so this is
the yeah.
Okay, so in no order, it's Goodbye, My Children, Diabolique, Young Frankenstein, Fanny and Alexander, The American, Sympathy for Lady Vengeance, which I talked about in one of the episodes, Leaving Las Vegas, Anatomy of a Murder, Witness for Prosecution, Sleuth, and what was actually my number two, but then we decided not to talk about the movies that we have previously talked about so much. It's Brief Encounter, which mm-hmm. I loved.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, because that's one of mine, like, what? His top three.
It's, yeah, but it's okay. I talked about it, but you can talk about it.
Oh, okay. Because it was so long ago, and you talked about it, and I just...
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so, Sophia, your end recommendations.
Yeah, I had, like, 30, so... But I managed to control myself and narrow it down to 10, including top three. So, here goes. And they're actually in order, kind of. Yeah. So number 10, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Then we have 2001, A Space Odyssey. Mm-hmm. Then Ieri Oggi Domani, the Italian film I talked about. Life of Pi. The Hunt. I'm No Angel from 1933. And Sweet Smell of Success, which was my number one. But is now the number four.
Okay.
And Matt.
Yes, I also didn't choose any of the movies we talked about, at least not the ones we had in a future discussion. So my number one would probably have been Before Sunrise.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, a lot of other movies. But I watched a lot of the Stanley Kubrick movies that were great. My favorite, I think, was Eyes Wide Shut.
So good.
And Shaun of the Dead, I watched that. The Exorcist, Groundhog Day, American Psycho, Aliens, Magnolia, Limelight, and The Matrix, I think, are the big ones.
You only saw The Matrix this year?
Yeah, The Matrix, yeah. I mispronounced.
Oh, no, we say Matrix here, too.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, like, actually, we say Matrix.
Okay. Yeah, that was a really big one, and I watched it with my sister, and we were like, why have we never seen this before?
Exactly. It is such a cool movie.
It's yeah.
So cool. Okay. I've never seen the second or the third part, though.
I'm not going to watch them.
Yeah, it's not necessary. No. There's a scene in the third movie that always makes me laugh because it's so stupid. Neo is, like, blind, and he's looking for Trinity, and she's on the ground, but he's blind. So he asks, like, where are you? And she says, I'm here. And where? And she's here. It's, like, it's supposed to be dramatic, but I just laugh.
Okay, so,
Stevie, your number three.
My number three is In the Name of the Father, which, of course, I watched because of my Daniel Day-Lewis feels.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so, so, so good. Like, it was just one of those films that you start watching it, and I was like, wow, I love this film already, and it was only, like, 5 minutes in. But I don't know, I just really like films that are about Ireland and everything that happened there, but that one was just, it was so powerful, and of course he had like Emma Thompson at the end of it, and I loved her so much, and yeah, it was just really good. It was definitely the best Daniel Day-Lewis film I saw this year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It is so good. Daniel Day-Lewis is awesome in that film.
Yeah.
It's very emotional. I
want to watch it.
Yeah, it's very high on my watch list.
Yeah, but for me, oddly, it's more for Emma Thompson.
For me,
I suddenly have Emma Thompson feel, so.
Yeah, same.
There's...
I watched it because of Daniel Day-Lewis. I went through that phase, I think, on my last year of high school, but I watched all of his films. Yeah, I did basically what you did this year. Did you like, obviously did Ballad of Jack and Rose, but I loved that film.
Yeah,
that's yeah, it was really so good.
And it was so nice to see Daniel Day-Lewis being normal. I mean, okay, it was a weird film, but still, it was normal.
I don't want to be Rebecca Miller so much. Not just because she's married to Daniel Day-Lewis, but, like, she's just got such interesting films, like The Ballad of Jack and Rose and The Private Lives of Pippa Lee as well. That was really good. But, no, she's wonderful. Daniel Day-Lewis is wonderful.
It would be so weird being married to him, though. That's, like, my only thing. Like, he, like, go, like, 6 months, like, being people like Daniel Day and View and, like, Lincoln. So weird. Just be like... I can't imagine.
Not pleasant. I think Lincoln would be worse. I'm so boring. Living with Lincoln must be the worst.
Yeah.
God. Okay, So, my number three, it's La Haine. Not sure. Oh.
Yeah, I heard about it. It's on my watch list, too.
It's a 1995 French black and white movie. The name translates to hate.
Mm.
And it's about three young men from the wrong side of the tracks. The outskirts of they live in like the outskirts of Paris and like those projects kind of areas, and there have been like a few riots over there, so there's a lot of tension between the youths and the police. And the three men, one is Vincent Cassel. He plays this guy called Vince, and he's like really really angry all the time. Then there's Saeed, who's kind of like more comical, not like properly, but he's more like lighthearted in a way. And then there's Hubert, who's a boxer and a drug dealer, but he's like the one who wants peace. And the film is set in like a day and a half, and it just follows these three people around like their normal routine, and then it just like sees them go to Paris and how like people over there, you know, like the more well-off people, how they live and how these people live. And one of the first thing which like really, all three of my movies are like the movies like within the first 5 minutes I knew I loved it, you know.
Yeah.
So in case of La Haine, firstly it's the look, okay, it's in black and white. It's easily like one of the best black and white movies I've ever seen. They're like images which have been like burned in my head, okay. It's so striking, the movie. And then it's obviously a very affecting movie. It's very, very bleak. It's brave. It doesn't like shy from the things it wants to show. And like, you know, the styles, the images it uses. It's about, you know, it's sad because like places like this exist, you know, where like if you want to like get out of a situation, like everything around you keeps you in there. And it's about like how these guys, because they're young, you know, they still have hope, but it's everything just around them is so shit that it just like it makes everything else horrible. But it's so beautiful. It has so many like stylistic elements in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good movie. So, yeah, that's my number three.
And the actor Vincent
Cassel. He's hot.
Yeah,
Is he great?
He is hot. He's not hot as hot as he was in like Black Swan in this.
Okay.
But he's like his first scene is like he's like imitating Robert De Niro from Taxi Driver.
Typical.
but it's in French, so it's cool. So yeah. I mean, it's not that it's not cool, but yeah, it's different cool. So it's they're all very good in it. And
okay,
yeah, I highly recommend it.
Okay,
I should watch it.
Okay, Sophia, your number three.
Yes. My number three is Whatever Happened to Baby Jane from 1962. I just saw it recently. I know this is usually a movie, and I myself thought about it that way, remembered for Bette Davis's performance as Baby Jane. And I mean, it's rightfully remembered as that because she's amazing. She's just out of this world in this movie. It's inspiring and incredibly freaky and scary. But I mean, the truth is that even though her and Joan Crawford's work take this film to the next level, the script and cinematography is just amazing. I mean, this is incredibly well written. The movie was, as I was watching it, I was thinking, oh my God, this scene is amazing, you know? Like when you're completely aware of what you're watching, you know? And it has some of the most beautiful shots I've ever seen so far on film. I mean, the moment she's staring in the mirror, she's singing, or she's reciting a poem. No, she's reciting a poem, and then she sees herself in the mirror. I don't know if you watched this film, probably.
Yeah.
And then she starts screaming. Oh, it's amazing. It's really good. And okay. The telephone scene. I mean, I don't know. It's very cinematic. It's a very cinematic movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the two actresses are just amazing, really.
I've never seen it. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's a very easy watch, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So you should watch it.
Yeah, I'm going to watch all the movies that I haven't seen of these.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Stevie, have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it when I was, like, 12, and it terrified me.
Oh.
Like, absolutely terrified me. Yeah, I don't think I've even quite got over it, actually.
Yeah, I bet you never asked for a doll again.
No.
Because it is really creepy. It's a very creepy film. But I feel bad for Jane. I mean, I have compassion for
her. You do. You can't help it.
She's not like a villain. You just...
She's just... It's sad, but it's scary.
Exactly, yeah.
It would be so hard for, like, you know, someone to play something like that. Because
mm-hmm.
she's hot. I mean, she looks ugly.
She does.
Like, Betty Davis was not ugly, so it's just...
It's a very nasty portrait
to
make, yeah.
Okay, Matt.
Okay. I had two movies, but I'm pretty sure I've talked about Star Wars, have I?
Yeah,
okay. So that would be my number 3.5. But so my number 3 actually is a Japanese movie called Ugetsu Monogatari. I don't know. The English title is Tales of a Pale and Mysterious Moon After the Rain. I hope I haven't talked about it. Yeah. But it's from 1953. And it's like my third or so Japanese movie. I haven't seen many. And I just kind of just watched it randomly. I just opened my 1,000 Movies You Have to See Before You Die book. And there it was. And I just watched it. And it's amazing. It's so beautiful and very universal. You would think Japanese movie from the 50s is hard to relate to, but it's just such a magical story and at the same time has a lot of traditional elements to it, of course, from things that relate to Japan, but you can understand them even though you're not very acquainted to the traditions and stuff like that. And yeah, it just blew me away, and it's very mysterious, and it's also kind of a fantasy movie, which you wouldn't expect. And yeah, it's so beautiful, and I can only recommend it to anyone who just wants to watch something unusual and very beautiful. Yeah, have you guys seen it? never heard of it.
No.
Yeah, it's actually, it's kind of known, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not big on Japanese films.
Yeah.
For that matter. So, including Indian films. So,
wanna do a shot?
We do!
I'm gonna get fucked up!
Me too!
We came for a week, we the kings of the beach.
Spray water on the girls,
t-shirts,
see-through,
Cancun,
party down,
Mother Day,
another round,
have a zoo,
crack a brew,
marry a man!
So, CBU number two.
My number two is actually a film that was from last year. Actually, it was kind of this year in New Zealand. And that's Zero Dark Thirty, which I just... I mean, I know that it's not the most intense, exciting film as, you know, it could have been, but Catherine Bigelow is an absolute goddess of filmmaking, and Jessica Chastain is an absolute goddess of goddessness, everything. but I love it because I saw it at the start of the year when it first came out, and then I watched it again, like, halfway through the year, and I just realised that, like, I am Maya. Like, I'm not hunting down Osama bin Laden or whatever. But, you know, on those scenes where she's, like, aggressively writing on the windows, like, it's been so many days since we found the house and we still haven't done anything.
Yeah.
That's what I do in the common room, like, every day. Like, I just aggressively write on the whiteboard, nobody has done the dishes, you have to. And just the way that Maya walks around, like, she's always on a mission and stuff, it just... It reminded me of myself in a weird way. But I think, you know, it's just such a well-made film. It feels like it's real, almost. And, yeah, Jessica Chastain is just perfect. So, yeah, that's my number two.
Yeah, I think it was on the last episode that I said that I could have watched that movie, but my parents wanted to watch Olympus Has Fallen, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I liked it. I'm not, like, I think I'm not the biggest Hurt Locker fan, so I like this more than Hurt Locker, mostly because of Jessica Chastain. But it's, I mean, I'm not a fan. I liked it. It was fine.
I liked it more than Argo. So, but yeah, I wasn't that big of a fan of Argo, but yeah, I just bought the DVD because I felt like I have to rewatch it again, but I really liked it. I loved the ending.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Okay, my number two, it's an Indian movie called DFD,
which I love that one.
Yeah, it's amazing. I've been wanting to watch it for quite some time now, and I finally did this year. It's based on a Bengali novel called Devdas, which has been adapted, like, numerous times. Like, today I went through the Wikipedia page, and it's been adapted at least 12 or 13 times in, like, different Indian languages.
Yeah.
And I've only seen, like, the last Hindi adaptation, which was like the most expensive Indian movie made at the time. But yeah, this version of it, Devdi, it's complete. I'm pretty sure none of the other versions are like this, because the original story, it's set in, like, early 20th century, but Devdi is a very 21st century movie. Like, they've completely adapted it to the modern world, and I knew it was based on the story, but I was not expecting what I saw. It's exactly the kind of movie I want modern Indian filmmakers to make, you know, because it's brave, the visuals of it, it kind of, in a weird way, it's a bit, it reminded me a little bit of Requiem for a Dream, in terms of, like, its energy, except it's not as scary or, like, depressing. But it's about a man called Dev, which is played by this Indian actor called Abhay Deol, who gets rejected by his childhood lover, Poirot, and then he goes in like this downward spiral into the world of drugs and booze. And while he's in the spiral, he meets a prostitute called Chanda, who's played by Kalki Kochlin, who I met. she falls for him, and he also falls for her, but he still has like feelings for Poirot. So he it's just like, you know, it just keeps sort of getting worse. Like, he keeps like worsening his condition. He's like hell bent on that. But again, it's a really modern take on it, you know, because like, it's just, I've seen the older version, you know, it's all like the older version, it was set in like this big old mansions and things like that. In this, it's all set in like clubs, and just the visuals of it, you know, like all the scenes and the clubs, the colors, it's very vivid. It's very stylistic. They've changed a lot of the story. They show a lot more about the character of Chanda, about how she came to be. And Kalki Kochlin is amazing. She won like the Indian equivalent to the Oscars for this. So it's just it's so unique. I was completely like, I was the moment, it just blew me away. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the music is also great. It's
I love it too. It's when it came out in 2009, it was just one of those movies that brought me back to Indian cinema, because I'd been watching like the big movies like Devdas and the old one. And because Devdas, the 2002 movie, kind of represents what people think Bollywood is like. And and it's a really good representation. I mean, I love it. And it's in my top 100 movies, but Devdi is too. And it's kind of, I think they're both great. And
awesome. It's kind of awesome. Yeah.
Everybody should see it, really. Yeah.
It's a very, you don't have to like, be into Bollywood to watch it. There are like songs and things there, but it's not something that will like get you out of it. Like, it might for a lot of other Bollywood movies, you know, when you randomly there are like songs about like food or the middle of nowhere or something. So this doesn't have that. It's a very smart movie. And I really have to watch more movies by Anurag Kashyap. He was the producer of like one of my favorite 2013 movies called The Lunchbox. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's also a great movie. So, yeah.
I don't know if I ever told you, but I've only seen one Indian movie in my life.
Which one?
It was Doom.
Oh god.
because one of my best friends was like obsessed with the guy. Like
John Abraham. Okay, that makes sense, but
yeah.
She thought he was like really hot. And so I watched that film.
Well,
it's pretty bad, right?
I like Doom, and I like Doom 2, and I'm excited for Doom 3, but they're not good. I mean, they're just fluff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I mean, it's fun.
And John Abraham's become like this ugly boulder of a man now. Sad. He's hot.
Yeah.
Okay, your number two.
Okay, my number two. I can't remember if I've talked about it, but I'll just mention it briefly, so it's fine. But it's Some Like It Hot.
Just mentioned it.
Yeah.
So I just mentioned it?
No, you only mentioned it. I mean, talk about
because it became one of my favorite movies of all time, and probably my speech is going to reproduce what I've said, but I can't remember, so forgive me if I say the same thing. But it's like, for me, Some Like It Hot, I'm pretty sure I said this, but it's the perfect comedy. Like, if Notorious is the perfect romance / thriller, then Some Like It Hot is the perfect comedy for me. Because it's amazing. I mean,
it is.
It has Marilyn Monroe and Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, all these A-list actors. But it has just a great script. It's just so good. The jokes are so good. And it's one of those movies that I can say that are truly timeless. Like, right? Because I saw it like 50 years after its original release. and still I laughed all the way through it. It still applies to today.
I think I fell down laughing at the end. Like the last part. So funny. Really, really watch that film.
So good. It really is.
I feel like a bad movie person. Because I haven't seen that either.
Same here.
Yeah.
I think that was the first Marilyn Monroe movie I saw proper. Which I felt like I had to watch because my blog is called Norma Jean. And I'm like, I haven't really seen anything by home. So, yeah. So
yeah.
I watched that and it was so great. So.
The only movie of hers I've seen, actually, is All About Eve.
Time.
All right, she said, yeah.
But I really liked her in that one. I was surprised by that.
I've seen a few of her films. I saw that The Prince and the Showgirl after I saw My Week with Marilyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Because it's supposed to be bad.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. It was fine. I mean, it wasn't great.
I haven't seen it. I've only seen this one, All About Eve, of course, and Monkey Business.
I've seen Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Mm-hmm.
How to Marry a Millionaire.
Yeah,
I really need to watch some Elvis movies next year. I think that's one of my resolutions. Because okay. Yeah,
not looking forward to that actually.
Is he? Have no, you seen some of his movies?
No.
I've seen a part of it on TCM.
Yeah, but it's like Marilyn Monroe and Elvis, they're always associated with cinema, but nobody's actually ever seen any of their movies, kind of, as is what I feel like.
But do you like Elvis? Like as a musician?
Yeah, well, not old Elvis, but I love young Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
I love his first albums, and yeah, it's kind of weird. For an 18-year-old, but yeah.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
My favorite artist at the time still is Dean Martin, so they're all dead anyway. It's okay. At least I won't pay any tickets to see them.
Yeah.
Side. Okay.
Matt, your number two.
My number two, yeah, I can't remember if I've talked about it. I don't think so. It's Alien, the first one,
yeah.
From 1979. Yeah, I watched that pretty recently in October. I talked about, I did kind of a horror marathon, a little one. And I was kind of surprised to see Alien on a lot of lists, because I never thought of it as a horror movie. I mean, I had seen pictures and not clips, but I've read a lot about it. And I think the reason I never thought of it as a horror movie was because the second is not as horror-ish as this one. But I loved the whole movie. I loved Ellen Ripley and Sigourney Weaver as her and the whole atmosphere. And yeah, and actually, just one day after I saw Alien, I watched Family Guy, and they did a spoof on it. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, it's just so awesome to see, especially when Gravity came out. I liked how they were kind of connected.
Well, I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I did rewatch Prometheus, and I liked it more this time. So.
Yeah, then you should watch this one.
I saw Alien and Aliens before Prometheus came out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked Alien. I loved Aliens, because it's so awesome. But Alien was really good, but it was really, really scary for proper. I haven't watched Aliens 3, because I don't want anything to ruin David Fincher for me.
Yes.
I want to watch it, but I don't want to watch it. So I don't know. I probably will sometime.
At some point. Yeah. Stevie, have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Did you like the first one better or the second one?
I like the first one better. Okay. Yeah, I thought the first one was, you know, yeah, more scary.
Yeah.
Sadie, Margaret, she hates the second one. Just like vehemently against it. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's weird. Okay, so now we've come to our number one. Ones. Stevie, your number one.
My number one feels like a bit of a cop out because I watched it on like the 8th of January. But it's The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I mean, I feel like I saw it last year. Like I read the book last year and pretended like I saw the film last year. But no, I just. Every time I watch it, I cry so much, but then I feel happy. It's just perfect. I love it so much.
Yeah. It is so good. That movie made me so sad and so happy at the same time.
Yeah.
It made me want to be 16. It was so horrible. I was just like, I wish I could just become 16 and feel infinite.
Yeah.
I was so depressed that I couldn't, because... old, like
exactly. Old. Yeah,
no, I'm not old, but I'm old enough.
It made me want to find
too old to do that.
Yeah,
it made me want to find a male Emma Watson.
I would like to find a male Emma Watson. I'm fine with any of them. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so great.
Okay, my number one, I know for a fact I've mentioned it quite a few times, but I've never properly talked about it, so I can talk about it now. It's Chungking Express.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the 1994 movie by Wong Kar-wai. And it stars Takeshi Kaneshiro, Bridget Lin, Tony Leung, and Faye Wong. And I talked about it like when I was talking about Fallen Angels, that even that had like two stories. And this too has two stories. The first one is about a cop 223 played by Takeshi Kaneshiro, who broke up with his girlfriend, whose name is Mei, on 1st April, and this part of the film, it's set in, like, within, like, one, like, a weekend, okay, so it's 30th April, and the next day is the 1st of May, so there's a lot about, like, May and April aspect of it, and he has, like, this thing that he keeps eating, like, canned pineapples that expire on 1st May, because he thinks it's symbolic. Okay, he's very, very cute. Okay, he's very funny. He's always like on the phone trying to like find like old girlfriends of his to go out with him again, or trying to find out more about me.
Okay, so and he's played by Tony Leung?
No, he's played by Takeshi Kaneshiro, who I did mention is the most adorable man on earth. So
okay,
it's very apt. He happens to meet this mysterious woman whose name we never find out, and she was played by Bridget Lin, and she's the coolest. She's so cool, it's insane. Okay, she always wears like a blonde wig and sunglasses. You never see her eyes, and a raincoat and high heels, and she's like this like she has like this iconic like Margot Tenenbaum, Enid Coleslaw sort of looks that I just want to be her in a weird way. And she's a drug smuggler, but like her deals go wrong, so she's kind of on the run, and like they both happen to meet each other, and
like, you know, his parts are like very, very funny, and hers are shot in like this very like film noir kind of way with like the music, and even she's kind of like a femme fatale. Okay. So that's one story. And then the second story is the one with Tony Leung. He also plays a cop, Cop 663. And then there's his beat is around this food stall, okay, where basically Cop 223 used to go to like call all of his exes. And in the shop is called Midnight Express. Mm-hmm. So that's where the express part of the movie comes. And over there, there's a girl called Faye, played by Faye Wong, who, like, falls for him. And they're both very, very eccentric, very weird ways. Like, he's just been dumped by his girlfriend. So he's kind of sad, and he talks around, like, to things in his house. Okay? Because he sort of, like transfers his sadness to them. Okay? It sounds crazy, but it's actually very, very cute in the movie. And Faye is also kind of weird, because she Cop 663's girlfriend like drops off his keys at that shop, okay, and Faye basically she creates this imaginary life where she keeps going to his apartment and like fixing everything up. I think it's kind of like a snide remark about how men are not observant, because he doesn't notice that everything around him is suddenly like clean and things. But so that's another story, and I'm not gonna say what all happened. It's not so much about the happening, okay. It's like, first of all, there's this visual style, okay. The first time I sat down to watch it, it starts off in such a like, this weird like, can't exactly explain it. It's kind of jarring the way it starts, and at that moment, I had like a headache or something, so I decided not to watch it. And I think I watched it like a few months later, but it's actually like, that was kind of like deceiving, because it's a very vibrant movie, like In the Mood for Love and Fallen Angels, you know, like the other Wong Kar-wai movies. The visuals are a big part of it, as well as the music, because there are like four or five songs which keep playing throughout the movie, and California Dreaming gets stuck in your head. Like, you can't get it out of your head for like weeks after watching this movie, but it's fine, because this movie is awesome. And it's all about, you know, like, I just love the whole sense of like loneliness and longing that these characters have, because there's, it's kind of absurd, you know, it's set in like a place like Hong Kong, where it's so such a populated place, but people are still so, they have such like communication problems that they seem to like develop these quirks just to like fight it through, like Cop 223, okay, he has this constant refrain about how he likes to go jogging when he's sad, because he doesn't have, then he won't have enough water left to cry. So it's so cute, and it's so sad, and you know, a lot of people do have these things, and you know, you see all these characters like meeting, and they're so, some of them are so like you wouldn't think like Cop 223 and the mysterious woman should be together, but then they do have this like odd connection there. So it's just things like that, and it's so unlike anything that I've seen. And it's a very influential movie, especially like in the 90s. It's a bit like French New Wavey, even, because it's a lot to do with style, and you wouldn't think it has much plot. It doesn't have plots exactly, but it has these simple stories about these people. It's just, you to watch it to like get it, but it's, I recommend it beyond anything else.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Oh, damn.
Should.
Me neither.
Yeah, especially because I have this big crush on Tony Leung.
Oh yeah, and Takeshi Kaneshiro was cute, and Tony Leung is hot. This was written. Why didn't I say this? Okay. Stevie, you're also a fan of In the Mood for Love, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yes, you should watch this too.
I will.
You can all watch it and then do an episode.
Yeah. so nice. Very, I don't know. It's oddly inspiring. I don't think I'm intelligent enough to come up with anything like that, but it would be very cool if I could. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, Sophia, you're number one.
Yes. So, like I said, it was supposed to be Sweet Smell of Success, but we've talked about it recently. So it's A Brief Encounter.
Yay!
Yeah, which is the one you mentioned, and it's because of you that I watched it, so thank you. It is the story of a man and a woman who are both married, and they meet on a train station and fall in love. And so it's basically a love affair, although it's not consumed. So it has a completely different and innovative take on that theme, on love affairs, and it definitely proves that realism can be even more striking than fantasy if done right. And I think that's something that today we think it's obvious because current movies tend to be pretty realistic sometimes, but in 1940s it's just not the kind of movie that was being made at the time. And we talked about it even because of The Shop Around the Corner, because you said that they fall in love too quickly. You know, it's the kind of old Hollywood movie that we tend to accept, but this one is completely different. That just doesn't happen. They do feel attracted to each other immediately, but that's pretty standard in normal life too. You feel attracted to someone the minute you see them. It's physical, okay, but then they don't act on it the way that we're used to see. You know, they begin meeting each other, but not exactly romantically, right, Nick?
Yeah,
I mean it's not in an explicit the way they talk to each other or anything like that. It's almost like, even though
it's innocent, it's almost innocent.
It's innocent, or at least it seems like it. I don't know. It's like they both know that they're attractive and that they like something about each other, but they know that they can't do anything, and they don't. And that never comes up, at least in the beginning. So I got the feeling that it's very sweet, because it's almost like, even though they can't touch each other or talk to each other the way they want to, they just, the fact that they get to know each other and be in each other's presence, I'm saying each other so many times, it's worth it. Like, just that contact, even if innocent, is worth it. So they keep meeting each other and knowing more about each other. And then I don't know if you had that, but at one point I thought to myself, is that cheating? You know, if you meet a stranger, a man that is not your husband, and you feel something towards him, but you don't act on it, you know, is that cheating? But I don't know. I mean, either way, we do feel kind of sorry for them, because we know it can't end well. Of course, it never does when this happens. So it's the kind of movie that, you know, it's doomed. Like, the love affair is doomed from the start, and you know it, but you still maintain a certain level of hope. Yeah. That is very sad and sweet and beautiful. It's just like you said. Oh, and like you said too, Nick, I remember you mentioned that these are actors that are not well known.
Yeah.
But that fits the part perfectly, because they're just normal people. It really gives you a proximity to them.
And the actress, I've forgotten the name, so the actress's narration,
mm-hmm.
I still remember. Oh, it was so beautiful.
So
I was so, like, in love with her voice.
Yeah.
Just the way she talked about things.
Exactly, yeah.
I was, good, thank God you said, because that was going to be my number two. But then, yeah. I rewatched Junkie Express. I was going to rewatch this, but I didn't. But I will. And I'll probably, like, cry over it.
Yeah, so sad. It really is.
Yeah, now I can't wait to watch it.
You should. I mean,
really.
When Nick talked about it, I was like, oh, I have to watch this.
Yeah, and especially because Lawrence of Arabia is just one of my favorite old movies. Mm-hmm. And it was by the same director, so.
Yeah. It's different. But
still.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Mm. No, but it's really great. I mean, it lives up to the hype that we are transmitting right now.
the greatest love story for a time. That's why I'd watched it. It won that.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it, Stevie?
No, I haven't seen it, but I will.
Yeah,
you're a fan of like old movies.
Yeah, I am. I don't know why I haven't seen it actually.
Well, can't have seen everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. No, Matt, you're number one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I haven't mentioned it. Maybe I've mentioned it very briefly. It's The Breakfast Club
from
1985.
I love that movie.
This is why I said Easy A. I watched Easy A last year or the year before. I watched it a lot of times, and at some point I was like, God, I haven't seen any 80s movies, and I have to watch all these movies that are mentioned. So I kind of did a marathon on that with my sister, and just Breakfast Club just stands out. I mean, it's the essence of like 80s perfect movies by John Hughes. And just, yeah, like you said, Stevie, with The Name of the Father, 5 minutes into this, I was like, this is my new favorite movie. It's so perfect, and it's so simple as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about one-setting movies, like movies that take place in a very short amount of time, and that are very, like, kind of restricted in that way, but that just makes them so creative, I think, and yeah. I used to hate the 80s when I was maybe 13, 14, but now I just love the 80s, and I just want to live there and wear weird clothes and listen to
big hair
music. Yeah. And just live in a John Hughes movie. I mean, I'm sure the 80s weren't like this, but yeah, it's nice to imagine they were, and yeah, it's just a perfect movie, and just everybody who hasn't seen this, just for, like, my friends were like, you haven't seen this movie? You're supposed to be a movie person. So, yeah. Even they watched it before me. So, it's just so good. And I should rewatch it really soon.
You talking about 80s. I think this film is timeless. It's
It is also, yeah.
It's because I think as long as there are teenagers or young people, this movie will make sense.
Yeah, it will apply.
Definitely. It. I. And you know, you. Okay, who did you feel the most like?
The most like. It's very hard to say. I felt like a mixture of all of them. Kind of.
I genuinely think Brian the Brain is like my cinematic counterpart. So every time I watch like that movie, by the end I'm like crying like so much. That's kind of like Bucks, because I saw it when I was older, but I saw Breakfast Club when I was in that age. Even though I'm not like that much older now, I think it'll still make sense, but I was that age, and it just made so much sense. And I couldn't understand, you know, because generally, like, American high schools are so away from, like, the kind of high school experience that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't think, like, a place, like, so full of cliques and things would make so much sense. But it does. It's a great movie. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It is.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's the timeless aspect of it is true, and I think that's part of what makes the 80s look so great in it, because, I'm pretty sure the 80s weren't that great, and I've seen bad examples of it. But, yeah. It's just so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and the simplicity of it really brings out everything else. Really.
Yeah, it does.
Like you said, it makes them creative, and it really is. I don't know, it's just, it's so good. The way they all evolve from the beginning to the end, it's just, it's amazing work.
Yeah.
Okay, so with this, we come to the end of our main discussion. Any plugs?
No, not really. Just everybody remember to watch Sherlock tonight.
It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Stevie, do you have anything planned for your blog for New Year?
No, because I won't actually be like anywhere with this internet because I'm going to the beach for that whole week. So I won't be anywhere near a computer or anything. So
okay.
I'll probably do like some sort of unofficial top 10 of 2013.
Yeah.
Even though I've seen like literally 20 2013.
Yeah, my 2013 watch list is longer than the movies I've seen. So
yeah,
I think I've seen 30, and I have 35 on my list or something.
I have like an ongoing list on Letterboxd.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I think right now it's like 70.
Oh,
man, a short 70.
Just from 2013?
Yeah, but it's bad. Last year I watched so many movies. This year I like let go of myself. There are people who watch like 500 and something new movies.
It's
like, per year.
Impossible. How could you?
Okay. No.
God, I'd have no life if I do that.
I'd fail in even more classes. It's like, it's just terrible. I watch like a movie a week or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like it.
Last year, by the end of the year, I'd seen 300 new to me movies. That was like a resolution.
Wow.
So I had seen 300 new to me movies, and I had seen like, I'd seen around 400 something movies all in all. So, but this year I announced that I won't be doing that because by the end of like this time like last year I was like cramming movies. I had like 40 movies to go.
Yeah,
so I was just finding movies to watch. I didn't want to go through that. This year I wanted to do more things, so I think I'm going to do the same thing next year. Like I can't go through this.
I'm going to wait
movies thing. I'll just do the whole blind spot series. That's cool.
Yeah, me too. And I'm just going to wait to do, like, 300 new-to-me movies until university. Because I think I'll have a lot of time then. But
maybe.
Yeah. Maybe, I know. I have to read a lot.
Yeah. I definitely stopped reading books, like, for leisure.
Oh, no. I love reading
this
books.
Is just, I spend the day reading law books. I don't want to come home and read more. Sick of words.
Oh. No,
so it's taking me like 3 months to read Lolita.
Oh, that's why you haven't finished it yet.
I was wondering. I'm like halfway through it.
That's not an easy book, so.
I just had the resolution to read the Divergent series in the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm gonna be free, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Just gonna.
Yeah, but then I waste my time. When I'm free, I don't do anything. It's like sitting.
Yeah.
My life is awesome.
It's like college syndrome, really. Yeah. You're either really busy, and when you're not, you don't do anything.
I have English, so technically it's like everything ever written is in my syllabus, and I'm like one of those weird people. If I'm supposed to do something, I don't want to do it. So it's
yeah, I do everything except what I need to do. I rearrange my room.
I clean my laptop like a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, winding up. I'm Nikhat, and I blog at beingnormaljean.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Nikhat_Z, which is Nikhat_Z or Z.
And I'm Sophia. I blog at filmflare.pt, and you can find me on Twitter under filmflareblog.
I'm Metz, and I blog at limereviews.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter at Metz Kowalski.
You can find our episodes on any of our blogs or on our Podomatic page or on iTunes, and the older episodes can be downloaded from our Dropbox page. Please send us your feedback either on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/acrosstheuniversepodcast, or email us at acrosstheuniversepodcast@gmail.com. Stevie, where can people find you?
They can find me at cinematicparadox.com or on Twitter under @DBTaylor. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Okay. So for our next podcast, we're not sure what we're going to talk about. So we will let you know through our Facebook page and through Twitter. Or maybe it'll just be a surprise and you'll come and we'll be talking about Ryan Gosling.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Mostly standing. Did you see the BuzzFeed article?
Which one?
The one about Ryan Gosling being better than Adam.
Yeah.
Like, in it, it's like Ryan Gosling holding a bottle, Ryan Gosling standing. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, I need to look better.
It's true. Yeah, it's so true.
CV, do you have anything else, any parting thoughts?
Well, this is coming out on New Year's, isn't it? So.
Yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone! From the past! Hey!
I know I've talked a lot about BuzzFeed on this episode, like. But yeah, I spend my days on BuzzFeed. No.
So do I.
But there is one of the lists they have. It's like the dumbest things, the 33 dumbest things that happened in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's something great to see, because I laughed so hard. Did you? You saw it, Nick?
I've seen it. I spend a lot of time. I like refresh my life as BuzzFeed.
it's hilarious, and I don't want to speak poorly. I mean, it doesn't reflect all of America, but the last dumbest thing was like people saying happy 2013th birthday, America. It's like, what?
Oh god.
Makes you feel, but like tons of people on Twitter,
People don't know. The people honestly thought that Titanic like didn't happen. It's just the movie.
Yeah.
What?
Oh god.
It is. It makes you feel good about yourself. So.
Well.
Everyone.
So feel, you know, you and I have come off as like old hags in this
episode. Yeah. We're so old. We're 21.
Yeah, Stevie and me, we've got all our life in front of us.
Yeah,
you do.
Okay, so, have an awesome 2014. Naya Sal Mubarak.
Please and novu.
Schönes neues Jahr. Oh, Gott nüdung. That was both Danish and German.
Okay, Stevie.
Oh, I'll just say it, like a really stereotypical New Zealand accent. Okay. Happy New Year, mate. Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither while they pass, they slip away across.
across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and